So I'll give you, I only have 15 minutes, so I'll be brief, but I hope that if you have any questions, you'll just interrupt me during the presentation, because it makes a little more sense than to do it while we talk about a certain topic. So, are we ready?
Yeah.
So what I'm just going to talk about is that some of the initiatives that we as a company has taken to try to secure the content. We just heard the panel here before talk about what they are doing, securing their content during productions and all that. What we're all about is basically securing the content after that, after it's been distributed, after it's been out there. The problem for all of us is that we cannot stop the content from being out there in the real world, because that's ultimately what we want people to be able to do, is to see the content. And as soon as it's available for people to watch it, it's also available to share with somebody else. And this is where the problem arises. So I'll give you a little bit brief of who we are. So basically, the Kudelski Group is focusing on security in a different types of areas. So we have content security solutions, where we have historically been the most successful CAS operator in the world. We have secured TV content for a lot of customers worldwide for many, many years, and been very, very successful. We also have a huge public access division, securing access with turnstiles and things like that around the world. And we've recently launched a cybersecurity division, which is also being heavily invested in, and the goal here is to be a world leader in cybersecurity as well. We are a tech company in the soul. Being a lawyer myself, it's a little bit an odd thing here. We have a lot of engineers and people working with developing new technologies. So we have a lot of patents, and we, on average, have 300 new patents every year, all on security. We operate worldwide basis, and we have almost 4,000 employees. So, but what is the vision that we have? The vision we have is that we want to be able to make a complete circle of protection of content. We want to protect it when it comes out, we want to protect it after it comes out, and we want to be sure to identify where it's coming from. So we have security for the content when it gets out there. We have ways of identifying the content, ways of taking the content down, and we even have ways of identifying individual streams of content here. So my colleague Mark will talk about that a little bit later on today. What we do is, or what we're developing now, what we want to do is we want to try to take all these elements into bringing them into a world-class premium service. And what we have right now is that we have over 80 people working globally on developing these services for you, and it's technical people, lawyers like me, investigators, ex-police officers, policymakers, anybody who has an insights into anti-piracy and a knowledge of what to do and how to deal with this, because you can't just fight piracy with just one stick. You got to try to do everything at once. We have a global presence. It helps us a lot because it gives us an insight into what is going on in each territory, what can you do in each territory, because piracy isn't just something that happens in one country. It's not like we just have Sweden or Holland or something like that to concern about. It is a global phenomenon, and we need to make sure that we understand just how to address the problem in each territory. Also, we have a lot of experience in anti-piracy, and we have that because we've been working with conditional access for many, many years, and conditional access has basically given us a little bit of a pre-start on the situation we're in today. So today we have the problem with the internet being able to distribute content all over the world, right? But the reality is that for broadcast TV, it's always been that situation. The signal was already out there. The footprint was already out there. So you had footprints covering the whole of US or footprints covering the whole of Europe, right? So it was then protected by the conditional access systems, but in reality, the information was out there. It was available for everybody to pick it down if they could hack the signal. So that gave us a situation where we had to, as soon as some of these systems were hacked, we had to react to a situation where the content was out there available for everybody, and we had to take it down. So that kind of, prepared us for the internet side of the of piracy, where everything is available everywhere. So we've been in that situation for 20 years, and that's why we're equipped to handling the situations that we have with the internet right now. So when we talk about the principles of anti-piracy, I just mentioned it before here, so you don't have just one stick to fight piracy overall. You got to make sure you do everything available. You got to work on your toolbox all the time. You can't just say, okay, now we develop a great tool that will solve piracy forever. That doesn't work like that, because it's always been a matter of escalation and deterrent. So we come up with something, the pirates come up with something else. Then we come up with something new, the pirates come up with something new. That's the way it is, that's the way it's going to be. And it's going to be more and more difficult, because there's a lot of bright guys out there. And the problem is that this is only, you know, the chain is only as strong as the weakest link. So we heard about the companies up here doing everything they can during their production phase. But we all realize if just something goes wrong anywhere in that chain, you know, then we have the problem. And it's the same after distribution. It's the same thing here. We need to make sure that we can do everything here. And here we're not just talking about technology. We're also talking about legislation, right? So you can have territories around the world with terrible legislation. Right now we're in a fortunate situation, because a lot of these distribution of piracy is reliant on infrastructure that is basically mostly available in the Western world. But when Africa and Asia gets up to speed, and you're going to have countries in Africa hosting servers and all that, what about the the legal situations there? How are we going to do that? What are we going to do? How are we going to deal with that? What are we going to do if, just as an example, you've already seen what happens on the internet with domain names, right? You have different top-level domains who are just not responding to anything because they just don't really care, right? But what happens when all the servers are based there anyway? Right now, we're in a fortunate situation that when they're distributing the software, it's actually most likely from a European or US jurisdiction. But even that, you know, even then, in Sweden, Holland, so on, it's still difficult. Even though the legal framework is there, it's still difficult to do something about it. You need to know exactly how to do that. That's what we're specializing in. We know what to do. We know how to deal with these situations. But there is no silver bullet. And again, we got to make sure we build the best toolbox all the time. That's why we're developing technology. That's why we're investing into legal insights. We're investing into investigations. We're investing into everything, because you got to have it all at the same time. And that's what our, you know, that's our philosophy, and that's our focus, is to build the best possible overall package for you, and combining the best technologies with the best practices and the best legal insights to make sure we can deal with this as efficient as possible. So these are the puzzles you need to have. How big is the problem, right? The big problem is huge. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but I think we all know that in order to make sure that we have great content, we got to make sure that we can actually monetize it. And the only way to monetize this is to get money from the audience. And if we can't have a secure way of distributing it, or if it's too easy to pirate, then we're going to have an issue. And I think that everybody, at some points, there's been, you know, talks about, oh, we just need to price it right. We just need to make sure that it's not too expensive, then everybody won't buy it, right? And then you go Netflix, you have all the OTT solutions and all that, and they are not that expensive. People are still pirating anyway. People don't want to pay if they don't have to. So what we're faced with here is the situation where piracy offers free, or sometimes even paid piracy, but they offer everything initially, and they offer it very, very cheaply, and it offers it easier and very, very consumer friendly. So that's what we're fighting. So we need to make that more difficult for people, and I think that we also need to make sure that it's not that easy to actually distribute this and make the distribution of piracy harder, because if we can't do that, then we're gonna really have issues. And what we've seen in the evaluation of piracy here, so talking about it from a distribution point or standpoint of view, especially live, you can see that we I don't know if you, most of you probably know what key sharing is, or card sharing, or control word sharing is. So that's, you're using technology to circumvent the distribution via DVB. And that has been a huge problem, but not as big a problem as it could have been, because we actually managed to keep that under control. But what we've seen now is that we can see the IPTV boxes is really taking on and is really, you know, replacing control word sharing as the, one of the biggest issues here instead of IPTV. And the thing with IPTV is that it's very, very easy because it's based on generic boxes, so it's really difficult to stop the hardware. And it's also based on open source software, so it's really easy to download the software. And you can then put your servers in jurisdictions where they don't really care about it, and then you have a huge problem. So that is the evolution of IPTV piracy, and I think we all realize that that is something we really need to focus on. So here you can see Kodi IPTV is probably the best known of these kind of problems here. And I think that it's probably started around 10 years ago with the Xbox and the way of sharing it, a media center on the Xbox. And now it's developed into this worldwide trend of being, you know, the global center of IPTV problems. So Kodi in itself is not unique because it's just a media center, basically. And the problem is also that, you know, stopping Kodi will then only, it can be copied because Kodi is open source, so you can just copy that afterwards. So you can just make a Kodi 2 or an iDoc or whatever you want to call it, and then you go on and on and on and on. And so that's why we will be talking about escalation and deterrent here. So I think deterrent is probably one of the keywords here. You've got to make sure that people involved in piracy and making a lot of money in piracy, and don't misunderstand this, because there is a lot of money in piracy, a lot of money to be made even though it's free. It's just being based on advertisement and all that. So it's a lot. There's a lot of revenue going into the piracy scene, and that's also why people are involved in this. So what we're seeing right now is kind of two things, and I think that, you know, from a public point of view, a lot of people have seen, you know, the free piracy stuff. Go into a website, you look at it, and it's, for you, it's free, but the pirates are still making money on it because they're getting money from advertising. But that's been kind of the way it's been done. So for many years, people went onto a website, watching a TV series, a live sports or whatever. But that's not really so much of an issue. It is, of course, an issue, but it doesn't really, you know, make people turn away from their cable subscription or something like that. Whereas the new pay piracy services like the Kodis or M3Us or vertical set-top boxes we've seen, the problem with that is that they enable people to actually shut down their cable subscription. And, you know, if you're looking at pay TV subscriptions as a revenue for the business, it's so much money that's unbelievable. So I know that there's a lot of money, of course, in movies and all that, but we got to make sure that we actually protect the distribution chain all the way through, because every time we lose a window, we're losing a lot of revenue, and this is one of the biggest windows, so we got to make sure that we understand that. So premium content is really, really under attack here by these boxes and services. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a portfolio of services. Yeah, I know I got to stop 1 minute, so I'll be very, very brief. Okay, so what we got to do is we try to make a service portfolio to combat all of this. Control word sharing, content sharing, and cybersecurity media services. And we build a platform that can stop and identify all these streams. We do a takedown program that will get the best practices and possibilities of doing takedowns. And we then, if that's not enough, we build, on top of that, we escalate with litigations. So basically, it looks like this, you know, cutting-edge monitoring platform, an unrivaled takedown program that ensures the best possible solutions and results. And one of the biggest results we've had is the case against a pirate called GoTech, where we got a verdict in the U.S. for $101 million in damages. And that's just an example of us taking a global box vendor into court and actually, you know, bringing the pirate war to the pirates and trying to stop them at the development stage instead of just waiting for it to happen for us. So that was me wrapping up really, really fast. And I can see you're happy about that.
Yes, David, thank you so much. That was great. And also, David, you're around all day today, so be sure to... Yep.